You and I welcome you to our service on this Sunday after Easter, a great day, a wonderful day. And Bonnie, if I don't know what you're going to say this morning, I said, well, that's the message in itself. We've already heard a message. I want to ask you a question this morning. If you are 40 and above, raise your hand. Yeah, some of you aren't raising your hands. I don't know what you're thinking this morning. Okay, 39 and below, raise your hand. I want y'all to look around. Look around. All right, praise the Lord. We're glad all of you are here. But what a message we heard this morning. And, you know, as we gather this morning, it's one thing to hear it. But it's another say, what are we going to do about it? And I challenge you this morning to ask God to speak to you about maybe serving with me or with a group in our church, to begin to pray about what can we do as the church to make all God's people feel welcome in this place. You pray about it. And, you know, let's gather at some point. Let me know if you'd like to serve on that. And let me know. And so we can join together in God leading us to that moment in time when we can at least see this half and half on a Sunday morning at 8:30. Not that all of you are important. We're all important. We are in God's eyes. But anyway, and so that was a great moment, a great testimony, a great word for us this morning. I hope it spoke to you. It certainly spoke to me. And, you know, as I've told you many times, I go to lots of places. And I go to the schools and, been down to Disney and I go to this place and that place. And I see all these people gather for different things. And the one thing that's on my mind a lot of times is say, God, how can we get these folks? And I'm sure some of them are interested in church, interested in being a disciple of Jesus Christ, so that God's house is drawing or inviting, folks in our society who need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and don't quite know where they fit in. Wow, that's really something. And then I want to tell you this morning, I am blessed this morning, and we need to keep Tracy and Kevin in my prayer. You heard Tracy's not feeling well, and I had one day this week when I tell you what, I just felt absolutely rotten. I didn't have any energy whatsoever, and so I'm glad that I'm feeling a lot better today, I tell you that. And I praise God for Leah. Michelle and I know Leah, our youngest. She's a freshman scholarship honor, where they honor the freshmen. They have such GPA at a certain point. And I'm telling you, there were times when we cried with that child and over that child because we didn't think she was going to even learn to read, much less get to where she is now. But it just goes to show you what kids can do. And I'm going to read from John, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 19, because this is important. And, I know we got some time factors this morning, but this particular passage speaks to what we've already heard today. So let's hear from John, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 19. This is a powerful story. And when we get into it and we hear what it says to us. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, this is the day of Easter. Okay, Easter had happened that morning. This was a big day. This is the same day. Now, we're a week later in the life of the church. But this particular scripture speaks to that same Easter day. Now, I want you to think about this with me. Being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. for fear of the Jews. In those shut doors or locked doors, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. He said it the first time. Then he says it again. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And wouldn't that be enough to excite you? They had been in that room. They were afraid. They were cowering down. You ever been that way? You know, you just locked yourself in the house. You were afraid. You couldn't go do this or do that. You're afraid what people are going to say. You know, there's all kinds of things like that cause us to just be immobilized. And this fear had immobilized the disciples. And it's in that point, in that moment, in that time in their lives when Jesus came to them. Isn't that awesome? I think it is. That's powerful. In that state of mind, of heart, of soul, spiritual, physical, whatever you want to say, they were afraid for their lives. Now, a lot of us have been fearful many times. But how many of us in here can truly say that we have been fearful that for our lives? That someone was going to come and put us to death because of our belief, because we followed a certain person or a certain man. So here they are. Thomas wasn't with them. So Thomas says to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Now, I'm assuming that happened that day or sometime during the week. But listen to this. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. What's going on here? Jesus had said he'd given them peace. He had breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Man, you think they would have left that place and went out on fire for Jesus, wouldn't you? Here they are 8 days later. Something didn't work right. Something didn't happen the way that it should. After 8 days, the disciples were again inside and Thomas with him. Again, they're inside this shut door. And some translators say locked. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, look at my hands. Reach your hand here, put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, and he confessed at that moment in time, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Lord, we ask your blessings upon the scripture and upon our continued time of worship this morning, especially in a few moments as we celebrate Holy Communion, and we are reminded once again of what you were willing to do on the cross for us. Bless now your words as they go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you get it? I'm gonna make this brief this morning, but do you get it? Here these disciples were. They'd been with Jesus for 3 years. He had trained them. He had mentored them. He had taught them. He'd given them all the things that he knew. His gifts and talents he had shared with them. His teaching. They had watched him in different kinds of experiences. Now it is time for them to be turned loose into the world. It is time for them to go and do what Jesus had taught them. But on that resurrection Sunday, the tomb was empty. We know that. Mary went to the tomb. The tomb was empty. On that same day, Mary came and told Peter and John, "Hey, the Lord is risen. He's not here. We have seen him." Well, Peter and John didn't believe it. They ran from that room. They went to the tomb, and then they came back. And the scripture says they marveled at what they saw. They didn't believe it. This is all happening the same day. Who's the unbeliever here? Thomas or the disciples? They're all part of the same crowd, aren't they? And so they can't believe what is happening on this same day. They have seen it. Some of them have experienced it. But it still doesn't set within their heart and their soul and their mind. And so we find them later on that Sunday in that upper room, fearful for their lives. How soon we forget as the church, don't we? We get all excited about Easter Sunday and we're praising God, and yet it's not very long after that that the Easter experience leaves our minds and our souls. And the doubts and worries and cares of the world creep in and keep us from being the disciples, keep us from being the people that God wants us to be. We've had a whole week. We've had lots of things happen, haven't we? You've had them in your life and in my life. Lots of things have happened. For the disciples, it was that same day. How quickly we forget as the church the power of the resurrection and the power that God has to work in your life, in my life, and in the life of the church. How quickly we forget. And just like those disciples, many times we have things that confront us, that paralyze us in the same way. And we need something to motivate us and to move us out of that room or closet or space or whatever it is that is keeping us from doing the work that God calls us to do. We need something to move us out of that. And so here are the disciples in that room. And Jesus knows, in spite of all that's been done, in spite of all the training, you know, in spite of all the children's programs, in spite of the Bible schools, in spite of the youth programs, in spite of all of those things, in spite of all of the training, in spite of all of the Bible study, in spite of all of the Sunday schools and worship, here they are, afraid. Afraid to do and speak the name of Jesus in the community where they are. For fear. For fear. Oh, what fear can do to us, can it? Well, what are people going to say? Well, how are people going to think? What will my parents think? What will my colleagues think? And it's in that moment in time Jesus appears to the disciples, because he knows. God knows everything. He knows where we are and where we need to be. And Jesus appears to the disciples and he points a finger at him. He says, "You bums, haven't I been with you 3 years?" No, he didn't say that. "You've been a church member all this time. I watched you up there in church when you said your vows of membership. Well, you guys are just absolute. You know what? I just wasted my time with you for 3 years. You're just, you know, you're all messed up. You messed up." No, that's not what he said. That's not what he did he? He comes into that moment in time and he says to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And then the scripture says that he gave them new life. That's what that word breath there means, new creation. The same word is used there that's used in the Old Testament in Genesis when God breathed life into Adam. So this is that new breath, that new life in the New Testament. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter. You are a new creation. You are a new being in Christ because I've given my spirit, I've given my life to you in this breath. Did they deserve it? Oh, no. They didn't deserve it, did they? They didn't know what to do. Not only that, but 8 days later, they hadn't learned anything. 8 days later, they come back into that room. And Jesus appears to them again. Yes, Thomas had made a request. Answered prayer, maybe? What do you think? "Unless I see the print of his nails in his hands and the scar on his side, I will not believe." Answered prayer? Did Jesus hear Thomas? Did God hear Thomas? 8 days later, they're in that same room. Door shut, door locked. They're scared to death still. They're afraid. Sound like anybody you know? Me or you? How many times does it take? How many times does Jesus, does God have to come to us over and over again to remind us that he loves us and that he cares about us? How many times? So in that room again, Jesus comes. "Guys, I can't believe I just did all this last week. I mean, I said peace be with you. I gave you the Holy Spirit. Here you are again. What am I going to do? I need to go out and get 11 more." That's not what he did. He comes in again and he says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." God's love and the love of Jesus Christ reaches out to us over and over again when we need it. Isn't that marvelous? Even when we don't know we need it, he comes to us. He encourages us. He speaks to us. And you know, brothers, and John says, Thomas says, "My Lord and my God, I believe." And the rest of that passage says, "These things are written so that you may know the risen Christ." And they're written so that every one of us can be a testimony of what Jesus has done in the world. And that's what he called those disciples to do. And at some point in time, they had to take that new life that God had given them and go out into the world and be faithful witnesses of what they had seen and what they had heard. Jesus makes it clear. Well, blessed are those that haven't seen, but believe. And so that's the testimony that we have, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's that power, that resurrection power that you and I have as disciples of Christ that we are called to spread into the world. Now, has the church locked out that group of folks that Bonnie was speaking about earlier? Have they been locked out? We need to bring the peace of Christ to them. We need to love them. We need to receive them. Well, that's what Jesus does with us, and we're to do the same. To bring the resurrection power, the witness of our faith, to all who will receive it and believe it, based on that resurrection power. Now, Jesus reminds us, that's why we have communion. Over and over again, we are reminded of His shedding His blood, of His giving His body on the cross for us. It reminds us of that witness. It reminds us of that testimony and the power behind it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks again for your message and your power that speaks to us. Yes, God, we are no different than those disciples, no different than a Thomas, for we too need help over and over again, believing what you can do and are able to do in the life of others. God, help us to bring that peace to all those who would seem left out because of the fear, because of not knowing, because of feeling like they cannot be a part. Lord, forgive us as the church. Forgive us as the body of Christ. Forgive us as a Mount Olivet, as individuals, for not bringing that peace to one another, and especially those who feel outcast. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.